straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 272, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Duck, it's a big game this Saturday at DKR. The Texas Longhorns almost pulled the upset, and now they have to try and avoid one because the UTSA Roadrunners are rolling in. And it's our pleasure to introduce UTSA head coach Jeff Traylor. Coach, how are you today?
I'm great, Sid. Kirk, thanks for having me on.
You know, we were just talking about the best chicken fried steak in Austin. I don't know, do you have a go-to chicken fried steak in San Antonio and Gilmer?
In Gilmer, I do for sure. It's actually closed down now. You can drive outside of town and get it.
It was that good, huh? Oh, wow.
It was in actually Union Hill, which is a little north of Gilmer. But, yeah, I haven't found that spot in San Antonio, chicken fried steak. And I'll be honest, as I've gotten older, sure, you guys might can helpfully testify with me here. I can't eat many chicken fries like I used to could. I used to could have four or five a week with some gravy and some rolls, and I was good. But now if I look at it, I think I gained 12 pounds.
I hear you.
Try gaining 100, and then give me a call, Jeff. Try gaining 100, man.
I've done that, too.
Oh, wow. You guys off to a really good start, and a heartbreaker in the opener against Houston, lost 37-35, but you come back and get Army 41-38. Two overtime games to start the season. I guess, are you guys what we would call battle-tested entering this big game against Texas?
You know, that is good for you. It's the old high school coach in me. You know, you want to always schedule as many great non-district games as you could. When I first became a head coach, I was trying to pad that second with as many easy games as possible. And then we lost some crucial games and crucial moments. And it dawned on me that coaches included, trainers, everybody, you want to feel that pressure. Media, I mean, you want everybody to feel there's just a different feeling on certain games, right? And I know we're not supposed to say that, and coaches to talk to their teams that it shouldn't matter, you know, trust the process and all that good coach talk. But those big ball games where you got to win on the road, you need to go do some of that early in the year. The trick nowadays with NIL and transfer portal and everybody can just leave whenever they want to is how much can you test them and still keep your locker room together?
Yeah, it's a lot harder to coach now than it probably was 20, 30, 40 years ago. You're right. And said, I don't know if you knew that, they had like a five-hour delay, travel delay, you know, going to the Army game. And then, to play the second overtime like that on the road against a disciplined team like Army, I mean, that speaks a lot about your team's character, doesn't
it? I agree. And that's the one thing I can tell you about our kids is in our three seasons together, they've never disappointed me. There's one game, I would say, in our 3 years where I didn't think we represented what we're really proud of is our hashtag 210 Triangle Toughness culture. And it's our brand. I mean, and we vote for those single digits and those kids that wear those numbers is very important. I really brag on the humility of Frank Harris and Rashad Wisdom. They take those zeros off in the spring. I mean, Rashad wore 39 all spring. Frank wore 11 all spring. Those are our preseason all conference players, like the players of the year. And when you've got humility like those two young men have that lead our team, that shows you why we're so battle tested, Kurt.
You look at that 210 triangle of toughness culture, and it was born from your days as a high school coach. You Big Sandy and Jacksonville, and then Gilmer, you built into a perennial powerhouse. Those lessons you learned, did you work for Danny Long in Jacksonville?
Yes, sir, and that was the best 6 years of my life learning from Danny. He really understands the big picture. He was great at teaching me about sizzle versus steak. I was all about the steak, you know, just the fundamentals and coaching kids hard. Danny was about the sizzle. He taught me how to get along with media and how to, you know, have some pizzazz to your offense and have a certain look and a style to your offense that people want to come watch. He just taught me, you know, he sold Winnebagas in California before he became a football coach. So he's got that used car salesman to him. And I mean that in a complimentary way, not a negative way at all. He taught me a lot about the sizzle. Because I was back then all steak and potatoes guy.
You know, Doug and Danny Long is an East Texas coaching legend. I mean, he coached some really great teams in one of the best venues in all the state, the Tomato Bowl. It's a Tomato Bowl of a stadium, and there's a railroad track running by it, and it is the coolest atmosphere. And I covered a lot of games at the Tomato Bowl, and also dated a girl that lived in the Suite Union Apartments. I know you know where that is, Jeff.
I dropped off many players at the old Suite Union back in the day.
But man, I was gonna ask you. You mentioned Frank Harris, and his name has come up a lot this week in our conversations with Texas coaches and the Texas coach Steve Sarkisian and his players. You mentioned that he set an example in the spring. How important is it when your best player is selling out harder than anyone else? Because we saw that in 05 with Vince Young, and we know how that turned out for Texas.
Well, I'm going to give you a pretty simple formula. It's just very hard to find, especially in this day and age. When your very best players are your very best people, you have a real chance to win championships. And when your very best players are just okay people, you're going to have an okay team. And when your very best players are not good people, you're going to have a not good team, right? And I know that sounds super simplistic, but man, when you are as talented as Frank Harris is and Rashad Wisdom, you just track back where those kids came from. They both, you know, Frank from Clemens coached a great program. Rashad from Converse Judson, a great program. But then you go deeper and look at their parents. I mean, they've got some of the greatest moms and dads you'll ever meet in your life. And that's where coaches get way too much blame and way too much credit. You know, it's hard. Our job is to assist the mother and the father or whatever family unit they have. It's hard to replace that, right? And it takes a village. And the more of us that are pulling all in the same direction and saying the same words, you just got a better chance of helping mentoring a young man.
And you've got to find those diamonds in the rough, obviously. I was going back through rivals.com, and tell me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but you know, I think you had four-star players there with Spencer. Is it Spencer Buford?
Burford,
offensive guard, now with the 49ers, and you got a DB from Coffeyville. There's the four-star. I don't think he's starting yet, but, you know, you get a lot of two-stars, you know, and then you're going up against a lot of four- and five-stars against Texas.
Well, that's the key in any of this. It's the evaluation piece is very important, right? You've got to be able to spot talent.
Right.
Then the recruiting piece is very important. But here's the part that I think is talked about the least, and it's a shame. It's the development part. Mm-hmm. It's still our job to help develop that young man mentally, psychologically, spiritually, physically, emotionally, academically. Where's the player development? And it's concerning to me because I'm still old school as heck. You know, I still think the head coach's role is to help make young men into men, right? Boys to men. I know it's corny and old, but it's what the real thing is. And it's harder today to do that than it ever has been because there's no sense of anybody's going to stay around. You're coaching a team for 1 year, and then you're going to band back up together and see what you got next year. Now, we were blessed. We have not had that happen here yet, but we've also won a ton of ball games, and somehow it seems like when you win a lot, everybody's happy.
That helps.
And, you know, and you have you're a native of Gilmer, and my mother-in-law taught you at Sabine High School. Rest in peace, Francetta Shelton. You've stuck your toe. You kept that toe stuck in that East Texas well. Great talent coming out of East Texas. I took a look at your roster. You got Jamal Ligon from Tyler Legacy, Chris Carpenter, your receivers from Jacksonville, offensive liner Caleb Hernandez. You plucked him out of Trinity Valley and Athens Community College. And then the one that I love, Corey Mayfield Jr. If you're from Tyler and I am, Corey Mayfield Jr. Duck went to Forney High School, but his dad, I grew up with his dad, and his dad was a beast at Tyler Lee, played a decade in the NFL. So how important is it for you to keep that toe dipped in Beast, Texas?
Now we have Mekhi Hart, our right tackle from Trinity Valley, who's injured right now. In place, that was a huge loss in the Houston game. We have Kavorian Barnes from San Augustine, running back as well. We've got a lot of kids from Beast, Texas committed right now. I can't say their names right; it'd be a violation. But we're really trying to get that. You know, there's something about East Texas kids. Football is just so important to those kids, and that's going to matter most, in my opinion, right now. I think the key to this is going to be the next few years is finding kids that still love football. If you love football, you'll get NIL. If you love NIL, you might not get football. I'm going to really try my best to find guys that love football and then let the NIL come.
Well, obviously you're doing it. You won 12 last year, won the conference, been back-to-back bowl games. I don't know if you're a miracle worker or what, Jeff, but what are your career ambitions and how do you handle that? And has Nebraska called you yet?
Wow. I've had opportunities to leave each year. I just feel deep in my soul. I'm grateful for this opportunity. When I was coaching at the University of Texas, I thought this was a gold mine of a job. We had had some success recruiting. We had not a lot of success winning, but I'd kind of made a name for myself as a recruiter. So I thought I might get this job. I didn't get it. They hired Frank Wilson. As I look back, I'm really grateful because I wasn't ready yet. It was good for me to go through some more learning. Because I just thought I love the city of San Antonio. I always loved coming down here, Kirk, as a kid with my parents. And then when I became a parent, I loved bringing my kids down here. Mm-hmm. And recruiting is so important. And then I found they had a really good university. I think the Alamo Dome is the best place to play in the country.
Great.
I knew we had to build a facility. I knew we had to get that done. We built a $45 million facility. This is as good as anybody's. Mm-hmm. But we've got a lot of stuff. Now we got NIL, right? So now we're trying to get collectives together, nonprofits, because at least at the University of Texas, y'all been doing this for 100 years, right? And what I will really brag about that university is that it from the top down, I mean, Charlie, we didn't cheat. Like we would not do that. That university does not want that to happen. That university wants to be a university of integrity. And now the NIL, now it's legal, right? It's really going to help schools that have a lot of money. But we don't have a lot of boosters, but we got a lot of people. We're the seventh largest city in the country. So we might not have the boosters that can write the huge checks, but we got a bunch of people that can write a bunch of small checks. And that's just kind of my nature, being from East Texas, just meeting people and getting to develop a relationship with them. And hopefully they'll trust us enough to invest in our kids.
So has Nebraska called?
That's why you got agents to handle all that kind of stuff, Kirk. I'm just trying to find a way to not get embarrassed by Coach Sarkisian right now.
It's just so amazing. I mean, Sid, this football program is in its 11th year.
Yes, sir.
In Texas, like Jeff has said, has played 121 seasons, and now you're going to be on the same football field. I mean, what an opportunity, right?
And that's your words there, Kirk, is exactly what I've sold to my kids since I've been here. And that's why I couldn't leave them. We were 8-0. How was I going to walk in there and tell these kids? They're the reason anybody ever talks about me is my kids. Oh, and yeah. Frank and Rashad came to me and they said, Coach, we lost our last coach because we lost too much. We don't want to lose our new favorite coach because we won too much. Right. And it just gutted me. And there's no way I could leave those kids. Oh. And I don't know, Kirk. I know this. I cried when I left Big Sandy in 1993. I cried when I left Jacksonville in 2000. And when I came to work for Charlie, I cried in 2015, leaving Gilmore. I get attached, and the older I get, the more I cry, Kirk.
Keep those tears coming because those are happy tears, apparently. Trying on the way up that ladder, not on the way down.
I tried that too with y'all.
We remember well, my friend. We remember well.
I'll tell you a great story. That day we got let go, believe it or not, you can't make this up. It was family picture day. And so the only way you could get worse than getting fired is having to have family picture day with three, you know, teenage children back then. And boy, all day the photographer would be like, smile, and one of my kids would be, yeah, dad, yeah, like you got fired or something. I'm like, too soon, man, too soon, too soon.
Oh, my family picture day. What a nightmare. Oh, my God. So what scares you about the Longhorns? I mean, they almost pulled the shocker of all shockers last week, came up 1 point short, really won the game. There was a safety, and I think they would have won. But what concerns you guys going in about Texas?
It's not like it was like when you watch the video, it wasn't like luck. If anything, you would say they were unlucky. They won the game physically, in my opinion. Like they won up front. They look like they belong athletically, their size, their girth. And that's what I'm worried about the most is just, can we hold up front? Their D-line is so improved. They're so fast and just agile and thick. And their O-line, I know they're a little young, but they're the best players in the country. And I think I've said this before I was going to play y'all. I've always thought Bijan's the best back in the country. And now that I've studied him, I'm not sure Roshan might not be in there as well. And that's an incredible 1-2 combination. And I think Coach Sarkisian does a fantastic job of using both those kids.
Well, you don't want to peak too soon. And I don't know, I'm sure your players are just jacked up and ready to play. Maybe they were ready to play Monday or Tuesday, but you did have that long trip to Army. So health-wise, how would you say you are? I know you've kind of banged up in the O-line, aren't you?
Yeah, that's really hurt me, you know. And that's been my kiss of death so far since I've been a head coach. My injuries haven't been spread out yet. If they're spread out, you can pretty much handle that. Mm-hmm. When you get it in the same spot, you know, my first year, we lost four quarterbacks and that in four games, the first four. Man, and wow. two for the season. Now this year, it was an offensive tackle, then another offensive tackle, then another offensive tackle. So now you're in the Houston game, your left guard's playing left tackle, and my right tackle is really good. Mm-hmm. And the sixth snap of the game, Makai didn't touch anybody, and he hurt his right knee. And he'll be out for a significant amount of time. So now we've got a walk-on playing right tackle. Now, we are getting one of those offensive tackles back. We hope they can play this week. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's going to matter blocking 18 and 88. Those guys are freaking pretty athletic out there.
Yeah, they are. And the one thing that we learned last week, covering the near win over Alabama, was why not Texas? And are you stressing this to your kids? Why not UTSA? I mean, you guys have been in some really close games. You're one of the hottest teams in the country coming into this season. Why not UTSA this week?
Well, I think we had to be careful. I didn't think we played as clean early against Houston as we were capable of. I thought we got too emotional. These kids feel this pressure, right? They understand they're an upcoming program. They understand we still have an indoor to get finished. We have a new $45 million facility, but we don't have the indoor done right outside my office. These kids know that. They know our success last year is why they got to keep their coach for a 10-year contract. They know those kids aren't dumb. Like they feel such the weight of the city, and that's dangerous on young men, right? You talk about mental health. They've already got enough going on in their lives. They need to just go be true to the brand. Let's be men of integrity. Let's have some passion. Let's be mentally and physically tough. Let's be selfless. Let's have perfect effort. Wad it up. Pound the fist, trust the process, and be the very best we can be that day. And if that means we score more points, yeah, our locker room would be happy. But if we don't score more points, were we true to the brand? And if we were true to the brand, let it go, man. Let it go.
You know, last thing I got for you, Jeff, is that this has kind of been the year of the underdog. You know, Texas almost beating three-touchdown favorite Alabama, but, you know, the Sun Belt just went crazy last week. Beating A&M, beating Notre Dame, beating Nebraska, and you guys are right there. Boy, parity's here, isn't it? Now, I know you hate the group of five term, but
I do.
The little guys really come up, haven't they?
Yeah, it's just I don't think it's good for sports, and I don't think people would even know if we wouldn't say it. I don't think anybody would even know if we didn't just keep – we got 10 leagues. I mean, this playoff deal has got me so excited with us going to the AAC, and I'm not saying we're prepared to win the AAC at all. I don't want to sound being arrogant, but just that we have the opportunity that now I can recruit to that I can say, look, you can go to the University of Texas and sit behind all those five stars, or you could come here, get to the National Football League and start for the 49ers like Spencer Burford, start for the Seahawks like Tariq Woolen, and we can make the playoffs. And I would dare to say it might be easier getting the playoffs coming here than it would be going to another conference where you got to win your conference to get in or be in the top two. So it's just, and who knows? Like y'all said, that ball bounces crazy, right? It doesn't bounce like a basketball or a baseball. That football can bounce some crazy ways some days. And how many times have you and I, we're all fans at heart, right?
Yes, sir.
And we rooted for that underdog, and bash, almighty, it happens sometimes.
Well, you keep it up, you're not going to be underdog hardly ever anymore, Jeff. So you're building a monster there. So, and congratulations, man. You've really got it rolling. You're one of our favorites. So, man, anything else you got said?
No, man, just so happy to chop it up. With you know, I call you Tractor Trailer for only reason your last name's Trailer. There's nothing tractor about you, but it's just always good to catch back up with people we enjoy talking to. Not only when they were here, but you know, back in the day in East Texas. Jeff, always a pleasure. Looking forward to Saturday, 7 o'clock. The Roadrunners coming in here to play the Longhorns. Best of luck to you, my friend, and thanks for joining us today.
I hope I don't have to hear that cannon too many times, said Kurt. See y'all. God bless. Birds up.
All right. See you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Doug's still chuckling after that great interview with Tractor Trailer. Who wouldn't want to play for Jeff Trailer? Just the fun and has that program on the rise.
You're right, and that's the thing. He's a motivator, but he's also a great recruiter. I mean, he was, you know, recruiter of the year 1 year, you know, recruited for Charlie, was associate head coach at SMU, at Arkansas. And you know what's amazing? He's 54 years old, but he kind of looks 42, you know, and he thinks young and acts young. So I don't know, with them joining the American Athletic Conference and getting the ball rolling like he has, you think maybe he might stay there forever?
Maybe. Good money, good city,
yeah.
Great job, great facilities coming up. Who can blame him? But, you know, coaches like challenges. So he might build this into a nice conference power. And
mm-hmm.
Who knows? Because the phone is obviously going to be ringing. If
you obviously. Yeah, no, he's going to have – chances to go other places. I don't know if Nebraska would call him. One reason why Nebraska might would call him, even though his roots are all in Texas, that's what Nebraska doesn't have anymore. They don't recruit in Texas anymore. But and the other thing it shows, you know, like you said, Big Sandy, Jacksonville, Gilmer, he grew up in the high school coaching ranks, not unlike Joey McGuire, who's the, you know, new head coach at Texas Tech. And I don't know, it's good to see high school coaches, you know, pay their dues, and then it pay off.
I love it. Now, his counterpart this weekend, Steve Sarkisian, is a West Coast guy.
Yes, but he is.
This West Coast guy has a quarterback quandary. Who is he starting, Duck? I mean, I'm really excited to see if it's going to be Hudson Card. We can agree that Quinn Ewers is not going to play in this game, can't we?
Yeah, we can agree on that. Yes.
Hudson Card, Charles Wright, or even Roshan Johnson, the former quarterback recruit who is known to run a little wildcat on the side. Why do I feel like Charles Wright's going to start this game? I just kind of do.
Do you? I don't. I just think a couple of reasons is that, and I would play Charles Wright in this game, whether Hudson Card goes or doesn't go, because You don't know if Quinn Ewers' shoulder is, it could be a season long, could be a chronic thing. In fact, it's his left shoulder is a good thing. It's not his throwing side. But, you got to get some depth developed here. And like you said, Hudson Card's dealing with an ankle. He was banged up a lot last year. So I think Hudson Card starts and goes as long as he can go because this is his window, Sid. I mean, he had a chance last year that lasted 7 quarters
It's his
before.
chance to show he can play in the NFL.
Well, not just NFL.
I'll play
You can
somewhere
play this guy
else.
in college. Lots on the line for Hudson Card. And like he said, he told us after the Alabama game, I wasn't coming out. This is my chance. This is your legacy. This is the way you play the game. So I think Hudson Card will start, but I would play Charles Wright. I mean, if he's number three, and Sark told us Malik Murphy is not healthy,
Not healthy.
so that's not an option. So I would, no matter what, I would get Charles Wright some playing time and some snaps on Saturday night.
You're certainly if they're winning, you're not going to play him. You're not going to play him. Throw him into the fire if they're losing.
Well, unless
You
Hudson's
got to get
hurt.
the win. Got
Unless
to get
Hudson's
the win.
hurt. No, that's first and foremost. We both agree on that. But, I mean, if you could minimize Hudson's snaps, if that ankle's in bad shape, play Charles Wright some, use Roschon in the wild card. What was he in the Wildcat? Like maybe two plays against Alabama, maybe? I thought it might be more, actually, especially after Hudson Card was limping around like that.
But you know what, Duck? We talked to Sark this week about, he mentioned the rat poison and how things could unravel if they don't mind their P's and Q's. And so I think that he's got him in the right mental space. Because we saw App State go into College Station and beat the Aggies. We saw Marshall beat Notre Dame. There are upsets falling out of the trees. And to that end, Doug, he was asked about that, and he was asked about the challenge that UTSA presents.
I think everybody saw it. The easy thing for us is we got a great deal of respect for UTSA. I can't speak for the other schools that stub their toes in those ball games. You turn on the tape of UTSA, they get your attention quickly with their schemes, with their personnel, and the way they play the game. Clearly they had a lot of success last season, and then they've had two really hard-fought games here to start the year. Gut-wrenching loss to Houston, and then turn around with a great win versus Army, which is tough to do against a triple option. So they have our attention. That didn't take long this morning when we turned the tape on for them. They get your attention. We need to be ready to go.
Very respectful of the Roadrunners, and he knows that his team's kind of banged up, Duck, and there could be a lull. There could be a lull after that Alabama high. You don't think that they could come in here slipping? And even though they lost, don't we agree that this is a trap game?
Yeah, and it goes beyond that, I think, Sid, because a lot of times the trap game is you're playing somebody you don't respect that really didn't have a chance. UTSA is a good team. That's a good program. They won 12 games last year. They've been to bowl games, back to back. They beat Army on the road in overtime. They easily could have beaten Houston, which was a ranked team at the time when they played them in the Alamo Dome. So, I mean, I can't believe they wouldn't have respect, but even beyond that said, where Sark has this program, it would just be a major step backward
Oh my God.
if they didn't come out and play serious, intense football. I mean, they haven't proven anything yet. They've shown that they can play really highly competitive football, but it's all about sustaining it and playing that way every week.
And you can't come in and lose this one after you almost beat Alabama, because then you're just a 1-2 team that took its best
Cool.
shot. You're Charlie beating Oklahoma. How did that work out? Still didn't get to a bowl game. So you're
No.
Charlie beating Notre Dame. You don't want to be a giant killer one day and then get killed the next. So I have they beaten Alabama. Our conversations are far different. And I just love what Christian Jones said to me, the young right tackle. He goes, He goes, we competed hard. We played our hearts out, but we lost.
Yeah.
We get another chance to win a ball game. We got to get back to work. I love that mentality, Doug. The pats on the back should be in the rear view. It's time to try and go beat the Roadrunners. No one cares that you almost beat Alabama. That's for the voters and all of that. And at the end of the day, you're a 1-1 football team, and you don't want to be under 500.
No, and they got so much out of that. They got national respect. And, you know, you could argue, well, Texas has been a laughing stock. Well, I don't know about right. laughing stock, but they've been a punchline for the old Texas is back ever since Sam Ehlinger uttered those words. So it's about credibility. And, you know, when I asked Sark about that, you know, you feel like this changed the perception outside your program. He said, I don't care. You know, I think it's baloney.
Because
you always care about your perception because recruits, you know, are listening to those comments and opinions and analysis from commentators, columnists. And so perception is everything. Perception is in reality in a lot of
reality, people. Duck.
If yes.
And if a kid believes it, it doesn't have to be true.
No,
he's not
right.
coming. He's
you're
not
right.
coming. Oh, so yes. that means something in this business. So you better care what
yeah.
they do, because if you don't, you're not going to get those guys that can push you to the next level. He's recruiting really well, but let's
yeah.
not push it. He's got to win. He's
yeah.
still got to win. Or those okay. recruits that he's bringing in are going to be playing for somebody else.
Okay. His record, 6-8 still? I mean, he's got it to prove. And this was one of the first really strong signs that, okay, maybe Sark's a guy. Maybe he's got it. The players are bought in. He's got much better talent. The coaching staff is, you know, cohesive, and their messages are getting through to the players. But that's a week-to-week thing. You got to have staying power. Look at Alabama. Look at Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State. They're up there every year. So when you want to be in that crowd, in that company, you don't take weeks off.
And I'm so happy for him, Doug, that he's starting to get that respect. They got robbed at the end of that game, but if they score twice in the red zone instead of once, they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that. But I'm really happy to see Sark excited. He's enthusiastic about his gig. The kids are excited for him, and we can tell he loves college football. He's a real pleasure to be around, Duck. He's a football guy, and just like Charlie Strong, I hope he wins. I want Sark to succeed. We don't like writing coaching search stories and columns. We don't. We don't. We had it good with Mac Brown for 16 seasons, Doug. So it would be great to see Texas have another successful run of a coach like Steve Sarkisian, because he's obviously has the buy-in from his team. But he's got to put those numbers up where they matter, and that's the win column.
So what's your expectation? Do you see Texas team coming out strong, covering the point spread, and coming off with a big win?
Ooh, boy, that 11-point point spread is tough, and you're fighting. They're battling a senior team,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of experience and a playmaking quarterback. Duck, that 11 points, man, if I'm a gambler, and you know I am, Duck.
Hey, what's 14?
I don't judge this one with a 10-foot pole. I am afraid of this point spread. I think I could see Texas winning by 6 points in this game.
Yeah.
If Bijan isn't right, if HUD doesn't get to play, then it's going to be all on that defense. And we know that mobile quarterbacks have given the horns some
mm-hmm.
problems. And Frank Harris can do it all.
Well, the key is probably that defense. You know, they've raised the bar. They've shown what they can do. Pete Kwiatkowski, Gary Patterson's help, you know, they said, okay, now we believe that you can play good defense. They were 100th in the nation a year ago. Now they're 50. They're making strides. And defense travels, as we all know. That's something you ought to be able to count on every Saturday. Offense kind of comes and goes, especially when you have injuries and like we've talked about the quarterback and offensive line, just so inexperienced, so raw. You know, they held up okay. You know, I mean, I don't know how many sacks did Alabama have. I mean, they didn't run the ball well. Bijan hadn't had a 100-yard game yet. Isn't that a shocker?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They didn't run it well, and their best their best running back was their quarterback. I mean,
yeah,
he had a couple of nice 15-yard scramble, 20-yard scramble. Not for his legs, they don't win that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know. What do you see happening, Doug? Do they cover that 11 points? You think they win by double digits?
I would kind of say I'm kind of looking at like a 10-point win because I do have a lot of faith in this defense. But I also, you know, have a lot of worry about UTSA because, you know, they've been in some big games. They've been in bowl games now. They won 12 games last year. They're used to winning. So they'll have that confidence. They're not going to shrink. I don't think they'll come away intimidated. And the crowd, what's the crowd going to be like? They're not going to be as wild and raucous as they were against Alabama. So Texas better bring it on its own and fuel their own energy.
We're going to need to have that dog in them, Duck. They're going to have that dog in them because I think we had some – I think I heard some dogs in the background. They're going to have that dog in them to make this happen. And for the Horns to win, it's gonna be maybe a largely defensive game. The defense is going to have to be the – they're going to have to be the bellwether of this team. So that'll do it for episode 272 of On Second Thought. Big thanks to Jeff Traylor. What a great conversation. We'll be back next week with more fun, more sports, more hijinks. For the Doug Kirk Bowls, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Ced and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.